Ladies, did you know that your ability to live and feel authentically feminine is connected to your sexual power? Gentlemen, have you ever wondered what's behind those days when she seems to shine from within? If you answered yes to either of those questions, stay tuned for The O Spot with best-selling romance author Rachel Kenley and get to the source of your power so you are living a life of greater connection and joy.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It is Wednesday, the last day of September, people, September 30th. Welcome to the O Spot, live here from the Muse Salon. I'm your host, Rachel Kenley, and I am thrilled, in case you haven't seen all the posts we've been putting up, to say that my guest tonight is the awesome and talented Dr. Kevin Ross Emery. Are you here, Dr. Kevin?
I'll be here.
Oh, thank goodness. Yes, we Northerners sometimes like that Southern sound. All right. Don't get me started. I'm terrible with this. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm just somewhere between fabulous and wonderful. It depends on the moment of the scale.
That is a good place to be. We here in New England have had some... We are in the dark gray weather. We're in a quasi-drought stage most of the summer. And according to my weather app, it's going to be gray for like the next 5 days. Today we had some torrential rain. And I got so much done. I didn't leave the house. It was great.
Well, did you see the back end? I responded to your wanting to crawl in bed with the book.
Yes. I think everybody should crawl into bed with the book today. Dr. Kevin would like somebody to read to him.
Yes. And it's so funny because one of your followers immediately volunteered to be a matchmaker for me.
I know, my friend Nancy. And she is actually quite a good matchmaker. I can attest to it. Not personally. I was married when we met, when I met her. But yes, she has been quite successful. So yes, this was definitely curl up in bed, hot chocolate, hot tea, hot coffee, good book, or whatever your favorite binge watching series might be. I'm thinking, I just saw the trailer for the new X-Files, and I never watched that, and I'm wondering if I have to go find the originals.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot there that I think you could work with. There's definitely a lot there to work with, and it has a lot to do with people that are living non-traditional lives because they have no choice, and yet are punished for what they have no control over.
See, that's what I'm thinking. And so many of my favorite, so many of my friends and so many of my geeky friends just have such good things to say about it. And it's one of those shows that's really inspired an ongoing, it's been off the air for ages, but it's inspired this ongoing fandom that is still very committed to it, which suggests that it's got more depth to it than your average series.
Yeah. Well, it's so often it kind of leaves things unsolved and the brain stays curious, but you meet some interesting people along the way that, whether it's because they have psychic gifts or that they just seem to be more sensitives or just because, for any number of reasons, that they end up being outcast. But I do have something that, with your permission.
Of course.
Because Miss Nancy actually, asked me what I was looking for.
Yes.
So I'm going to share what I'm looking for. Can I do that?
Please do. Yay. We can all be friends.
So this is what I've written that I'm looking for. And hopefully Nancy's listening to this. And if she if she says that she hasn't, then we're going to make her listen to the replay. But if worse comes to worse, I can always private message to her. In my life partner, I want someone young of heart, intelligent, with an open and curious mind, who is equally facile in the responsibilities of life and the joys of play. A creative, someone who I can color life with, that finds the 128 box of crayon colors limiting and is up for inventing a few new colors. An individual who is in relationship with their spiritual self that gives and receives equally and does both joyfully. Someone whose life is evolving and organic, but who has a strong and stable core. I am looking for an equal.
And that does describe you. You know, for my listeners here, I don't know if you all may know this, and I think I mentioned it a little bit last week, but I wouldn't be here with you all tonight if it weren't for Dr. Kevin. Because, well, like a few other hosts here on Om Times, I came from what was his station, the Dr. Kevin Radio Network, but also because it was Dr. Kevin who helped me see that what I'm passionate about is something that others might want to hear about as well. And you know, he kind of gave me the impetus to, you know, be sharing that. So, yeah, we are looking for equals. We do want that and that creativity. I love that.
And, you know, the funny thing is, and this is a little bit kind of leads into some of what we're going to be talking in the show. But, you know, the first thing is it was very clear from the minute I met you. I mean, the minute I met you, we immediately did a whole love fest.
Yes. Right?
Okay. And but what you're passionate about is passion. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you don't limit it to intimate passion. And I think that sometimes because of your show and the things you discuss, that people may want to put you in the passion for intimate passion's sake category. Mm-hmm. But if they really know you, if they really look at you and see you and open up their eyes, what they see is you are this person who is passionate about passion, the passion of thought, the passion of living, the passion of creativity, the passion of love. You are somebody who literally oozes passion and can ignite other people's passion because you're so comfortable in your own.
Thank you. I do believe in it. I think that you know, when you live without it, and we all know way too many people, and just even see those people in passing, you know, on a daily basis, they're so disconnected from that part of them that brings them joy, that makes them smile, that they want to use the expression, you know, want to give freely and receive freely, and that part can be so shut down, and it's just not.
And we get limited with these labels that you either have to kind of, you know, either you're a giver or a receiver. Mm-hmm. Bullshit. That's what I have to say about that.
Absolutely.
And that the people that can receive and give equally joyfully are the people you want to be there for, because you will always be on, if not in it, on the precipice of synergy.
Yes, that is very true. And it's, you know, and it means that days that are gray and rainy aren't days that are depressing. They're just a different type of opportunity.
You know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I actually wrote a poem because, as you know, I'm a poet, and mm-hmm. I'm actually doing a Power of Poetry show the third week of October. My third
awesome.
Show is going to be a Power of Poetry with Avina LaDance, who you know,
mm-hmm.
and who has a book of poetry out. And we're asking for people to submit original poetry. And if we get a lot, we'll intermingle with ours. But, you know, I actually wrote a poem several months ago called Eaten by the Gray.
Mm.
So, you know, and it's, the thing is gray can be a joyful color.
It can be. And what's, you know, it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. After about the fifth or sixth day, I do start to feel like moss may be growing on me somewhere if I'm not careful. But, you know, at the start of it, it's just, it was wonderful. I got up, I did some work, I went back to sleep. I woke up and discovered my kids had actually done some housework while I was sleeping. I threatened to go back to bed because if that's what's going to happen, you know, I'm going back to bed. But, you know, they're doing stuff, put me in action, and a whole bunch of things got done. And it was great. Nobody was anxious to leave the house. Nobody needed to leave the house. It was so, I don't know, it was just nice. It felt settled and relaxed. One of the things I actually, I use a online organizational, I guess it's software, but it's online, so it doesn't feel like software to me, called Simpleology by Mark Joyner. And it's great about keeping you focused and keeping you on task and on goal, as opposed to those of us who, and Dr. Kevin is a specialist in this, who our minds are like having about 30 open tabs on the internet all at the same time. That's what life is like inside my head. And my listeners know, I actually had one day where, because of my topic, I had opened up a whole bunch. I counted them. I had 42 tabs open at the top of my browser. It was a little scary. My computer was moving so slowly because it couldn't catch its breath. But that's sort of what it's like in my head all the time. And they have just introduced, in this process of learning how to use not just the software, but learning how to make changes that lead to simple productivity, they introduce a phrase called Kenkyo Kaizen. And both words are Japanese. And Kenkyo is Japanese for environment or surroundings. And Kaizen, which is actually more common, more people know this one, means continuous improvement. So it's a focus on the continuous improvement of one's surroundings in order to improve the quality of life. And not by doing, thank goodness, massive, you know, spring cleaning and massive tossing out or any of those things, but almost more like hacks. You know, move your phone, move your alarm clock if you need to get up and you're hitting the snooze alarm too much. When you get up to do something, you know, pick up a few pieces of trash, put them away. Put away the things that you've used. And just little things to tweak your environment. And to keep it beautiful. Now, you, I know, love beautiful surroundings.
I love beautiful surroundings. And as you were talking, the thing that I was thinking of really was that what would be, to me, I would have thought that actually, I don't have to die to go to heaven because I live in heaven. is that this has an equally balanced program that says, here's one little thing you can do so that your outside environment works better. Here's one little thing you can do so your inside environment works better.
That's back to that synergy. Absolutely. That we want to keep those in balance. And we're about to go into our first break. But I know one of the things, of all the people to quote, Oprah once spoke about, you know, she was doing all of these makeovers for people. And then she'd check in with them and nothing had changed. And that was when she realized she needed to do... She needed to look herself internally and start to make changes externally. So we're going into our first break. Please come back afterwards for our Oh No section here on the O-Spot with your host, myself, Rachel Kenley, and my guest this evening, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on the O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on the O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life. Just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. Your Conscious Lifestyle on steroids.
Welcome back to the O-Spot. I'm Rachel Kenley, and here with my guest, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery. And that was weird. I had my own promotion during my show.
I was actually thinking that. I was thinking, how bizarre that they have your own promotion through your own show. Like, people that are listening to you don't know what you're pimping.
I think I may have to remind them about that. And I always love it when they say, you know, reach beyond, every time they say, you know, reach an audience beyond time and space and distance. And I always, the time and distance. And I always think they're going to say space and time. And I'm like, I always picture a sort of like going through wormholes or something really ridiculous like that. Every time he says that, that's
well,
always,
you know, I've had my fantasies about what I could do going through the wormhole with the right person.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not that kind of show. Oh, actually, it is, isn't it?
Wait, yes, it is. Well, it usually is. It frequently is. Gosh, I hope it is. You know, since you mentioned that, one of my ONOs for this week, for those of you who don't know, it is Banned Book Week. And as an author of a erotic romance, which would be banned on just principle for a lot of people, and a reader of many, many banned books, I wanted to mention that in this section because this is the oh no, which is kind of about, ooh, this doesn't work and this isn't the way we should think and this isn't the way we want to be. So through October 3rd, it is Banned Book Week. You'd be surprised. I mean, some of them won't surprise you. You know, Harry Potter was one of the most banned book series of recent years. But things like The Color Purple, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sing, just about everything Kurt Vonnegut wrote. quite frankly, if you want to get kids to read something, well, gosh darn it, just, you know, ban the darn thing. That'll make them read it. How about you? Do you know any banned books that you've read that you loved? Huckleberry Finn, of course, has been banned. Captain Underpants. I don't like the title or the unruly behavior of its characters.
But you know, the funny thing is, the only book that I really think deserves to be banned is the Bible.
And it has been in other parts of the world. It has been banned.
Well, and actually I'm going to add to that the Bible, the Quran, any of the books where they've been contaminated by human fingers and use it as a way to oppress, suppress, be violent, be judgmental. You know, I have this term that I use on my show called bully Christians, and it's not all Christians. It's just the ones that when Christ stepped off the cross, broke the cross into bat-sized pieces and started beating people with it.
Yes.
And so, you know, sexuality, sensuality, acknowledging the fact that we were born to be creators and co-creators and we were born to be sensual and sexual beings with curious minds and who explore and grow through experiences. The fact that almost every major religion is scared shitless of that concept, in of itself, I rest my case.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I saw something on Facebook one day that said there are thousands of gods currently being worshipped by different religions around the world. But trust me, yours is the right one.
Well, what I love to tell people is that, you know, because people would come to me about because, you know, I'm considered I've been called a spiritual coach and counselor. I've been called the psychic sledgehammer. I'm a minister. I mean, so, you know, people can, you know, my people associate me with religions, and I'm not associated with religions per se. I'm an interfaith and I don't, I'm more of a deist than anything, but people will say to me, you know, are you going to give me God? You know, are you going to try to like give me God if I work with you? And I'm like, no, my job is to help you have a better relationship with the God that you have. And if the God you have doesn't work for you, well, then we fire them and find another one because there are plenty out there and they're all looking for converts. So, I mean, it's a buyer's market.
It is.
There's not a religion out there that won't take you if you'll allow them to be brainwashed, if you'll allow them to, you know, brainwash you. So we got to take the power back and say, hey, religions, you should be putting money in my collection plate.
Absolutely. Because faith is an amazing thing. It really does change things. It can change things in your life. And my mother called me tonight. Something wonderful happened to her kind of just when she needed it. And she said, isn't it amazing that she literally walked into the house with this offer? And I said, no. And she said, that's right. You wouldn't be amazed by that. Because I do have faith in these sorts of things. Thrilled? Yes. You know, do I think it's spectacular? Absolutely. Surprised? No.
One of the books, you asked me a question, though, and I feel like it came across like I dodged it and I didn't. There's a book called The Front Runner. Are you familiar with it?
Yes, but I don't know why.
Well, it was a book about a love affair between a student and a coach, and it was a gay love affair.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was banned because it didn't portray same-sex relationships as abnormal. So if you want to talk about a banned book, there we go. You know, I just think it's – I mean, I just – when I look at the list – of things that got banned, and the reasons why they banned it, it's always about somebody else's idea of what should be right and wrong. And it's like, you know what? It is not your job. It is my brain's job to delineate.
Mm-hmm.
And if our education system taught us how to think instead of what to think, we would never have to worry about what book is in the library or on the desk. And I'm actually going to tell you a story about this, if I may.
Please. You know me. I love stories. Okay.
So when I was in the sixth grade, I was actually, they made a big deal because I, on my own, was reading Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asked to come in and actually read to the other students some of the Shakespeare and why I liked it, because reading Shakespeare on your own at sixth grade was kind of I guess you'd call it geeky these days thing to do. So that, but, I was kind of hailed as, this fabulous little kid because I was reading Shakespeare in the sixth grade. In the seventh grade, I'm reading a book, and my social studies teacher, after I get congratulations, best grade in the class note, on the back of my test is a note that says that the book that I'm reading, I'm forbidden to ever bring into school. That and that because of that book, I have no idea how many people died because of that book.
Hmm.
And that if I ever brought that book, if I was ever caught with that book in class again, I would get expelled. And it was because I was reading the Communist Manifesto. And I challenged it.
Mm-hmm.
I have every right to read this book. And nobody died because of this book. Because what you died for had no more to do with what Karl Marx wrote in the Communist Manifesto than we are an actual democracy.
That's right.
And I got into a knockdown, drag-out verbal fight with my social studies teachers about it. But my father backed me, and he said, if my mother, I love my mother, but she's all about make peace and don't challenge authority figures. I didn't smile. My father is about... oh, you're going to rebel? Can I help you sew up the flag?
That's great.
So, yeah, but I know the experience of quote unquote, having my reading banned. And guess what? Not in this lifetime, honey.
Excuse me. It's true. And, and it's those moments where we're like, this is right. And this shows you to be this wonderful person. And, this showed you to be a terrible person. It's like, really? I didn't change. I'm reading a book, the statistics are kind of horrifying. Over 11,000 books have been challenged since the origin of Banned Books Week 33 years ago. That is a lot of different books and a lot of titles. And the most popular reasons are that the books were, they had offensive language, sexually explicit content, or the book is unsuitable for a particular age group. And, I have to look it up. The book about Tango the Penguin, which is actually based on a true story, is the one that hits all of those. It's a children's book. Wait a minute. Ah, there it is. And Tango Makes Three is a picture book based on the true story of two male penguins in New York City Central Park Zoo who adopted a baby.
Yep.
Took care of him.
Yep.
It's still on the banned book list. It's still on the bestseller list. So, this is a true story, people.
I wonder if there's any way I could get any of my books banned. I could use this book's boost in sales.
Woohoo! Let's get you banned. Well, you'd have to start selling probably heavily in the Bible Belt, and then you'll really get going. Because it's interesting. They say it's very few big groups. It tends to be vocal parents and small groups that get things going, which I found interesting, and I didn't realize that the majority of books challenges are within schools and school libraries. They're not these big movements. Things like the satanic verses and stuff like that, notwithstanding. Because banning thought's always gotten us so far in the world. You know, controlling what people think, how people act, what people should like and dislike. That's always been a...
a winning combination.
Hasn't it, though? Yeah, that's the world so many of us want to live in. And, you know, and it's funny because here on Home Times, they say, you know, broadening our minds. This is the exact opposite of what we want to talk about here. And, of course, as if any of you saw the little things I put up about Dr. Kevin's being with us, what we're going to talk about in our OES, of course, this has to do with the mind. And that is a wonderful new phrase. Actually, my favorite word that came up with it is the... I looked it up because my listeners know I always look things up. We wanted to talk about sapiosexuality, and the word is a neologism word, which means a recently constructed word. So I like that. I like new words. My son's on a production of Seussical. Talk about created words. So that's a new word that's come into common usage and is very popular supposedly on social networking sites and dating sites, by the way. It has picked up popularity on dating sites. And it means to be turned on by the mind. It means to be excited by people who are intelligent, who are curious. And what was it you said at the beginning, Dr. Kevin, about more than 120 colors aren't enough.
Yep. 128 colors are not enough.
Not enough. We're in a, you know, multi-bit, high-resolution world. So come on back, and we'll talk about sapiosexuality and that truly sexual organ, the mind.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
I'm Maggie Chula.
And I'm Catherine Glass.
And we're the Psychic Angel Channelers. Join us every week here on Om Times Radio for Angel Talk Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
Bringing more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back to the O Spot here on Om Times. I'm Rachel Kenley, joined today by Dr. Kevin Ross Emery. And in this, our Oh Yes section, we are going to be talking about a brand new world called sapiosexual or sapiosexuality, which basically, unfortunately, they use two Latin words to create this one. Because one of my favorite comments about polyamory is it should be called polyheresy, because one uses a Greek and one is Greek and one's Latin, I think, when they put that together. So sapiosexuality is to become attracted to or sexually aroused by intelligence and its use. And I love that. You can actually find, there are quizzes. I found quizzes online to ask you if are you actually a sapiosexual? So the questions are things like, do you only become sexually attracted to someone when you have a sense of their intelligence, taste, and wit? Well, it helps.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. And first of all, in my rush to make sure I was ready to be back as break was over, I have to apologize because on break I was tweeting about to come listen to you and I talk about sapiosexuality at all times. And I get everything right, except I hit two N's instead of, so it says Kenny instead of Kenley. But the link is good and the tag is on sapiosexual. So we may have people that come on in the middle of the show right now because we just tweeted it out. But just in case, if you see it and you go, he knows how to spell my name. What did he do? And was rushing. So I'd like to tell you the journey about why I picked the show, if I can.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So, cause you asked me what I wanted to talk about.
And you came up with this like instantly.
Instantly. And part of it is because, you know, I have lived my life pretty out there openly as a very openly sexual, sensual being with a very strong same-sex preference. Mm-hmm. And there was a period of my time where I lived very bisexual. In fact, I was engaged to four different women. I lived with three of them and sex was never the issue. You know, I think people find that. I think there's a point where it's who you start to connect with on levels where you want to do the long haul with.
Yes.
So I kind of do it's a number. It's a numbers game. And somewhere it's very interesting. So, you know, I've spoken on panels and done all sorts of stuff because before it was popular to be gay, before it was popular to have a, you know, GBFFF, mm-hmm. And all of that, stuff like this, I was out there just simply going, this is who I am, deal with it. So, you know, I've been single for a few years now, you know, and I've had some near misses and dated some people. But when I kept on refining what I was looking for, like I did at the beginning of this show, mm-hmm. putting out, this is what I want to draw to me, and this is what I'm looking for, and looking back at what all of this was, part of it came into light to me that one of the big changes that I made, and it's interesting you posted what you posted today, was when I was trying to describe myself on one of the dating sites, one of the things I put was, when I thought back of, what were some of the nicest things about the mostly men that I had been involved with? Mm-hmm. And looking at that, one of the things was this one ex of mine and I would take our favorite books and read them to each other while we cuddled on the couch. So he would read his favorite book to me, a chapter. I'd read a chapter out of my favorite book to him. And this was this ritual, which touched me so deeply, mm-hmm. that sharing. And so I thought about that, and I actually put that in the dating profile, that this was one of the things I would love to bring back in my life as somebody who just wanted to sit on the couch and hold me and read to me, that would also like me to sit on the couch and hold them and read to them. Mm-hmm. And then I added this line because I realized also that what was very important to me, and I said, I'm looking for somebody that will give me as good as of an intellectual orgasm as a sexual one, as a physical one. Now, when I did that, I did not even know what the word sapiosexual was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I probably put that on dating sites a couple of years ago, put that line. I want somebody who gives me as good an intellectual orgasm as a physical one. And the amount of responses I got, And some of them led to people that I dated for a little bit, but it just didn't work out. And that's okay. No failures.
No.
Nope. Is that it, what I realized was that there were these people out there. And it wasn't until somebody only in the last few months read that and approached me and said, so you're a sapiosexual. And I didn't even know what he meant. I was like, what are you talking about? And so then I really had to go into it. And I realized we have attractions on all levels. We can be attracted to somebody spiritual. And if that attraction goes deep enough, it can fall into intimacy. We yes. can be attracted to somebody physically immediately. And I have some spiritual things that sometimes somebody that we have a soul contract with, we will have a completely unreasonable attraction to that we just don't even get. Like they have nothing, they fall so far out of our type that people are amazed we would even talk to them. Mm-hmm. And yet it's so drawing, we cannot help it. It's like our blood burns. And it may be because we have a soul contract that there is something we could come together to do with this person on an mm-hmm. intimate. But we can start with the physical. And I think when we're younger, we do that. And we can fall into the heart and fall into the mind and fall into the spirit. But we can also start with the brain and, you know, fall into the heart and fall into the body. And so sapiosexual to me is just about the doorway that you enter.
Mm.
It's the doorway that you enter. And what I realized is I've reached a point in my life. And No one that has known me for 5 minutes has ever accused me of being a monk in my past. you know, I have been told that I elude sexuality, and I go, no, it's actually sensuality you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to be sexual, and you know that one.
I do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can just be these sensual, tactile, loving, nurturing, and it's like, yeah, no, I'm not interested in you. Why are you now declaring undying love for me?
And or they get uncomfortable with it because they don't have that distinction. We were talking about how great gray can be. They don't have a distinction. It's either nothing or it's let's go to bed. There's nothing else on that path, which is unfortunate.
And I've had people I've gone to bed with and had a great cuddle and great conversation. Period.
Yeah.
It can still happen in bed. Doesn't have to be sexual.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. But one of the most interesting things getting ready for the show was I was looking up the definitions as you were and how some people described it. And I came across a couple of interesting conversations. And I really wanted to put it out there because, first of all, I will tell you, it did hit, you know, in my show, we have a segment. The beginning segment is my hot topic. And in my, mm-hmm. in my show, the hot topic either gets me hot under the collar or makes me feel warm and fuzzy. And I got hot under the collar when I first started looking into sapiosexual and some of the things that were being said, because I was reading comments of, oh, sapiosexual is the term when mama's trying to explain why the baby has an ugly daddy. And, you know, sapiosexual means that she's going to tease you but not put out because it's just your mind she wants. And sapiosexual is – and all of this really derogatory. And I went, oh, sapiosexual is really challenging the caveman.
It is. I found one blog on it that says – this is the title, everyone. Pretentious is not a sexual orientation. And I ran it by a friend. I'm like, is it me or did she not get this?
No.
She's like, yeah, no, she doesn't get this. And I'm like – late, and she's young, according to the picture on by the blog. But I'm like, we're not talking about being pretentious. That's the whole point, or a big part of the point. And then she goes on to, you know, give the APA, the American Psychological Association, definition of a sexual orientation. I'm like, nobody is suggesting this is a sexual orientation, people. It's not, you know, homosexual, heterosexual, and sapiosexual. It's just a word coined to sort of put it in the conversation, as it were, and to, you know, to point out that this is, you know, part of what connects a lot of people in their relationships.
But I think that this definition, I wanted to share it because I think that this is a sign of the new generation.
Okay.
And this is like the kids that are your age and one
kids, he says. He's so kind.
kids and that are one step up. I mean, you know, so these are teenagers and these are 20 somethings. And I've been watching this happen. Because, you know, in my practice and in my work, I work with people of all ages and have years. But I love this. It says, me, I don't care too much about the plumbing. I want an incisive, inquisitive, insightful, irreverent mind. I want someone for whom philosophical discussion is foreplay. I want someone who sometimes makes me go ouch due to their wit and evil sense of humor. I want someone who I can reach out and touch randomly. I want someone I can cuddle with. I decided all that means I'm saposexual. And this was done by a guy, and it's the top definition in the Urban Dictionary. And I thought, boy, I see so much of that. Of, you know, and I said for years, people would be like, you know, people would be all upset and like, you know, well, you've got to be gay or you've got to be straight and bisexuality doesn't exist. And, you know, there's this whole thing for a long time that, you know, that bisexuality wasn't considered legitimate or whatever.
Right. It was just somebody who hadn't made up their mind.
Yeah. Or somebody who just wanted to double their chances for a date on a Saturday night.
Oh, well, there's that, yeah.
Yeah, but I would always say to people, to be rigidly self-deluding that you're 100% basically means you lack creativity because they're just parts. And when you're creative enough, you can always figure out what to do with the parts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that definition. And then I got to go back to, okay, there's my warm and fuzzy, but then I got hot and bothered because here we go, that in Psychology Today, a saposexual person is someone who finds intelligent and the human mind to be most sexually attracted feature in the opposite sex. And I'm like, huh?
Wait, what is – yikes. I hate it when they do that.
I'm like, you know – it might almost be time for you to join the 21st century, especially when you're Psychology Today.
Yeah, like, really, not Psychology last century.
Yeah, like that's Psychology 1950. I mean, really. But in 1950, you know, it was considered an unattractive quality for a woman to be intelligent. It was too threatening to men. If you were a woman, you were supposed to be stupid or a man wouldn't want you.
And if you weren't, boy, did you have other challenges. Come back for this last section. We're going to continue our talk on saposexuality with Dr. Kevin Ross Emery. And just have a great time here on The Oat Spot.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Oh, good. So we heard the plug or the whatever, the radio tribute to my show. Now you've heard the one for Dr. Kevin's.
Which makes a whole lot more sense.
At least it makes sense, yes. I was on Nicole Brennan's show, and they had mine on while I was on her show, so that was fun. It was like, okay, that makes sense. But in addition to finding Dr. Kevin on his show, I want you to be able to tell everybody how they can find you and catch up with you and the work you're doing and all that good stuff.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm either brilliant or just lucky, and probably there's some of both in there. I'm being a sapiosexual myself. Is my Dr. Kevin, MyDrKevin. If you want to follow any one of my 18 boards on Pinterest, you go to my Dr. Kevin. If you want to get my morning coffee, my morning muse, you follow my morning coffee.
I do. I love his morning coffee because it's drinking at the same time as mine.
Yeah. So you go to Instagram, my Dr. Kevin, LinkedIn. If you want to see about how I work with business owners, combining good, strong business skills and years of entrepreneurial experience and teaching and stuff like that with the psychic and the spiritual to bring everything to the table to help you, you can contact me at my Dr. Kevin LinkedIn or mydrkevin.com or facebook.com/mydrkevin. So if I am on there, Tumblr, whatever, Reddit, if I'm there, you will find me at MyDrKevin. And I'm in fall, because I've been in England all summer.
It was. We had beautiful pictures.
Which are still going up on my Pinterest board. For those of you who want pictures, there's hundreds of pictures. I actually took thousands of pictures in England.
Oh, literally. Wow.
I'm back in New England for the fall, and I'm doing something that I haven't done in a dog and a half's age, which is I'm actually good friends of mine have opened up a store called Shaman's Dreams Gifts in the Fox Run Mall in Newington, New Hampshire. And they have opened up a store there, and we go way, way, way back. And they asked me when I was coming back from England if I would actually do some sessions there. And at first, because I started doing professional psychic work when I was 16, 17 years old. So, and now that I'm 29 for the 29th time, I'm doing it for a while. And not quite. But I said, well, I won't go back and do psychic readings like people think of them. But what I'm doing is I'm doing a kind of session called intuitive interventions.
Mm.
And so in that time, I work with somebody using all of the years of spiritual coaching and counseling, all of my powerful psychic, all of my synergy techniques, everything comes to that table. And we look how to get your life either moving better on the track, fix the track if it's broken, give you more information with which to make better decisions. And so I'm calling these sessions intuitive interventions. If you want me to look at your palm and see when the man of your dreams is coming, you will be sadly disappointed. You want to see me in a turban and nothing else? Well, you have to add,
That's a whole other Pinterest board.
But so that's what I'm doing. So, and it's Wednesdays and Thursdays. Wednesdays and Thursdays, I will be at Shaman's Dreams Gifts. You can look it up. You can, if you follow me, you're going to see posts and tags and stuff like that. But that's where I'm going to be. Thank you so much for asking. I'm going to ask you something, which oftentimes the host of the show doesn't get asked, which is, do you have anything coming up? What's going on with you?
What's going on with me? This is fun. One of the new trends in erotic romance we're kind of running out of space to push the envelope.
I can give you some ideas.
Oh, I know you could, because we talked about that on your show a little bit. The whole idea of, people who can transfer their genders and things like that. Well, it's always the illicit or the unattainable that seems to drive the most. And right now, one of the big things is step siblings, no blood relation, somebody who knows you really well, but it's just a little wrong, potentially. And my publisher, Riverdale Avenue Books, said to me, would you relook at fairy tales and retell them from the step siblings falling for each other? So I'm having fun playing with that, which is a blast. Some of them are set like in contemporary times, and some of them I still sort of kept in fantasy and the fairy tale world. And then the other thing is I took this wonderful class on creating journals, because not only am I a writer, but I'm a journaler. That's how I start my day. I do the Julia Cameron morning pages. And if I don't, my head gets really clogged. We're back to those way too many tabs open inside my mind. And I have a couple of journals coming out on pleasure and how to be aware of and notice it so that you're incorporating it more in your life. And even one called Once Upon a Time, which is how to use the fairy tales you've liked as a kid to kind of look more about how you can bring that magic into your own life. So there's sort of some guided journals, and I'm having a blast with it.
Well, and and as you should. And I think that there's something that there's a myth that I want to clear up that I see seeping into saposexual, the whole sexuality thing, which is that somehow people that are saposexual aren't interested in sex. And as a saposexual, anybody that knows me would tell you that is a big old fat lie.
Mm-hmm. Right. But we're back to pretentious, you know, being the draw. And that's not what it is.
No.
At all. It's just one more way of connecting. And one of the things we certainly talk a lot about here is the combination of intimacy and vulnerability that leads to that passion, first of all, can make you feel, if you're not comfortable with your passion or passion in general, it will make you feel very vulnerable. It will feel like too much if somebody tries to tap into that. If you go see Dr. Kevin and he starts to bring you somewhere, you are going to freak the heck out, because it's going to feel new and uncomfortable, and you're going to feel exposed.
And that's just if you're on a date with me.
Seriously. And by the way, listeners, in case you're wondering, Dr. Kevin and I met each other at an entrepreneurial conference, okay? We weren't at an Om Times type of event, because both of us also believe in everything that we've said here today applies to business. And you can hear some of our other hosts here say, talk about it too, but this is what we apply to what we do. We have transferred all that we love, all that matters to us, into our everyday bread and butter and champagne. but
the whole thing is, first of all, you know, people say to me, well, what do you do for work? And I'm like, I don't do work. I do joy. I get paid to be me. I get up every day and I get paid to be me, and it doesn't get any better than that. And you can tell, like, you get paid to be you. Mm-hmm. And when you meet people who get paid to be themselves, who aren't pretentious, aren't pretending to be somebody else, or aren't doing something because that's what they have to do, but are doing something that literally the field that the work that they do grows from is watered from the nurturing fountains of the ever-flowing heart and passion. You can feel those people. You want to be in their energy. You know, it's like suddenly, I watch people who would list themselves as non-affectionate, or they need their space or whatever, that suddenly they're rubbing up against me like they're a cat, and they're not even aware of it. Like, they just want to touch me. They just want to hug. Yeah. I have people, this happened at the place we met, where at the end of one of the weeks, because I was I'm on faculty there.
Right.
I was teaching. And I went down, and it was the day after the conference ended, and all of these businessmen were there. And so they're all there having a meeting in suits. There's like six of them. I walk downstairs into the restaurant. They see me come around the corner. They all immediately stand up. They get in a line, and I'm on a way to a meeting. They will not let me get by until each and every one gets their Dr. Kevin hug. And, you know, we talked about that really in that particular space, there's almost a branded Dr. Kevin hug.
Mm-hmm. There is. My son and I are both addicted in that space. And it helps too. When you're in a place where your mind is working in overdrive at times, having your spirit and your passion engage can be sometimes the best thing to keep it all together and going. And so, you know, when we talk about sapiosexual, we're talking about another way to be connected, to be intimate, to be vulnerable, to be passionate.
And I can make love to you and you never take your clothes off. You're never naked. I can look at somebody and put so much love into them. And it's not like lust, it's love. But one of the things I want to say to your guests, because I know we're almost out of time, is, and this is what I said to my students for years, and even some of my private one-on-one clients, when we talked about the idea of sexuality and sex and those conversations would come up. If you have not stepped into a place in your life where you can have connected with somebody and connect with somebody, where your orgasm doesn't come from every one of your chakras, if it doesn't come from every one of your energy centers, if it doesn't come from your heart and your mind and your soul, if the body is not just simply the releasing agent of all of that energy and power, then you don't know an orgasm.
And boy, are you missing out. I had to warn my husband when I met him, and I had to warn previous lovers that occasionally I will burst into tears, nothing personal, or laughter.
Yeah.
It's just because everything is just freaking lit up.
It's celebratory.
It's celebratory.
And that's what love should be.
And I got to say, I love my Dr. Kevin, and I hope you all did too. You can find him on Om Times Radio. You can find him now at the Fox Run Mall. You can find him in... Check out mydrkevin.com and come back next week for the O-Spot with me, Rachel Kenley. And we'll continue all these wonderful conversations in the future. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Kevin.
Love you.
Mwah.
Mwah.